Word of God is alive. It is true. It taught the same thing from Genesis through Revelation. That Jesus is our Savior. That we need one. That He will come. That He will die on the cross of Calvary. And that He will be raised forevermore. And that His Spirit will convict sinners of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. As He did then, and as He does now, all the way from the Genesis, the third chapter, and the fourth chapter, we have mankind steeped in false religion, and some obeying the truth. The rebels fight, the rebels kill. The rebels murder, the rebels steal, the rebels lie. The rebels try to destroy the Word of God, no matter how they, and in subtle ways, they try to destroy the Word of God, that it is of none effect. We don't have any continuous revelation, people. We have a final revelation, which is the book. Genesis through Revelation. That's the final revelation. We don't need any other revelation, unlike so many people in Catholicism and in the charismatic movement that really nullify the Word of God. Continual revelation. Continual revelation is not needed. Things are repeated over and over and over again in the Bible. And that's the title of our message today. They said the same thing. They said the same thing as Satan said. Herbert Armstrong, Joseph Smith, all of these try to relate mankind as a God. I am very thankful that Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God has become a evangelical movement, part of it, that they laid down his teachings. I am very thankful for every person that is saved in God's churches and inside, outside of God's churches. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, we find Jesus being tried, tempted. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, we see the real thing of the crucifixion that Jesus is now part of. All of his life, for an eternity past, the Bible said, the Lamb of God. Jesus stood as the Lamb of God before the very creation of anything. In eternity past. On this chart behind me, which I've been preaching in front of for 50 years, we have eternity past and eternity future. We live in a marked off piece of eternity that we call time. A marked off piece of eternity that we call time. We live within that time and we can't hardly vision or envision how that God in eternity past, God has always existed. People say, when did God begin? God has always existed. But way back there when nothing else existed except the triune God, God decided that He would send forth His Son, made of a woman. That in the fullness of time, God would send forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might fulfill and complete Genesis 3:15. That He would finally deal a death-dealing blow to Satan. Now we got two characters here, two persons. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, we have God the Son, Jesus the Christ, and we have Hillel, or Satan, Lucifer. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he became hungry. I could preach 10 messages on these passages. But we're going to see one part of these passages. They said the same thing. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. In all reality, in the Greek language, he said, "Since you said you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." And he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city, and he led him up and stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God," literally, "since you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning you. And on their hands they shall bear you up, unless you strike your foot against the stone." And Jesus said, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord thy God to the test. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Satan was tempting the Lord, his God. Jesus is Satan's God, whether he wants it or not. What is God? God is the Creator. The Hebrew term is Elohim. And that is a plural verb, by the way, or noun, a plural noun. And it means not singular, not dual, but plural, three or more. And here we have the triune God. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God." And he was tempting the Lord his God. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And that is a very high government. That's what it means. Up in the sky, far away, up in that word mountain there probably means government. And he said to him, "All these things will I give you if you'll fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and kept on ministering to him, actually. Now please turn with me to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and verse number 37, where we'll start. And they put up above his head the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Let's go back up to verse number 33 to get the whole aspect of what's going on here, and then we'll go back and read from the Greek from verse 37 onward. 38, that is. "And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall," and actually this was wine with opium. Opium is bitter as gall. After tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. The reason why they gave him opium and alcohol, opium works with alcohol. Doc Holliday drank alcohol, whiskey, and opium for his tuberculosis. Opium was a gift that Jacob gave to Joseph in Egypt. It was a rich man's medicine. It was a gift that the wise men brought, one of the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus, opium. Opium was a medicine. Opium cured coughs, bowel disorders, and all kinds of things. If you take cough medicine, it's probably got codeine in it, which is an opiate. Now let's go on. "And when they had crucified him," and they nailed him to the cross. Now they didn't give him opium mixed with wine as a gift, as a favor to him. They wanted him to live longer on the cross. To live longer in that state of crucifixion. "And sitting down, they kept on watching over him there. And they put upon his head a charge against him, which read, 'This is Jesus, the King of the Jews.'" Now, let's go to the 38th verse of this chapter, and we'll read it from Greek, and we'll go onwards from there. Tote sauronte un auto dia leste, eis ek dexion kai eis ets uon nemo. And they were crucified with him, two murderers, sociopaths. These were Sicarii. They were bandits. They were killers and thieves. Men, at times, and women have become this type of people that went out and killed and murdered and stole. This last year, Charles Manson died. My last message was Charles Manson or Jesus. Barabbas was like Charles Manson. He was a ruthless character. And one of those that lived on to bring down the Jewish nation because of the last stand at Masada. They were assassins. Assassins. When society is faced with assassins, we have been plagued by people going out with guns and shooting people because they were sociopaths, because they were this type of people, this leste. There were two murderers, habitual killers, thieves, mafioso. By the way, the Jewish mafia are descendants of these people here. Barabbas, Judah ben question mark, I can't remember his last name, or the last part of his name, that stood at Masada. Some of those that escaped went down into what is called Sicily. And if you'll study that, look up the word Sicarii. It means dagger men, assassins. They went down to Sicily and they founded that. If you ask most Italians, they'll say, those Sicilians are not Italian. They're not. Two robbers, two highwaymen, two murderers, two killers, two thieves. One on each side of him. And we know that he would be among thieves and robbers. Psalm 22. 27 verse 39, hoi de para poru minoi, e blasphemi mon, auton kinontes, tas kafales auto. And the ones passing by the scene, for themselves, by the way, little boys, they kept on, continued to blaspheme him. They continued to blaspheme Jesus. Psalm 22 and verse 7. Psalm 119 verse 25. They continued to blaspheme Jesus. You can blaspheme somebody, but when you blaspheme God, you've done something terrible. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. If you do, you will be required of it. The Jews never spoke the name Jehovah after that. Never spoke it. They'd say, Hadavar, the word, or Hashem, the name. They continued to blaspheme him, wagging the heads of them. Yeah. Like that. Wagging their heads. Like an old cow going out the pasture. Kai logontes ho kara lithon. Ton naon kai en trisin hemeras oikodomon soson seauton eis huios e tu theu kai kara bethe auto tu saru. And they kept on saying, tearing down the temple, and in 3 days you are going to build it up again. You're going to be building it up again in 3 days. You save yourself if you are the Son of God. In other words, if there's first class contextual, since you are the Son of God, if you're really the Son of God, save yourself. And you come down from the cross. Verse number 41. Homeos. Kai, hoi, akeris, em paisontes, meta, ton, grammation, kai presbyteron, elegon. And in the same way, now here's the whole Sanhedrin court lined up here now, seeing this masquerade of justice. As I said, they said the same thing as Satan did, since you are the Son of God, come down there. They said the same thing. And in a like manner, in the same way, also the one's chief priest, mocking with the scribes, these are the county clerks of the day, and elders, this is the Sanhedrin now. They kept on saying the same thing. They kept on saying the same thing. Verse number 42. Alus, esosin. Hiauton u dinate, so say, basileus, I Israel, esten karabato, nin apo tu saru kai pestu omen. F. Alton. What a lie. What a lie. Others he saved himself, not he is able to save. King of Israel he is. Let him come down now, this minute. That little old neen there, that's an adverb of time. Let him come down now from the cross. And we shall believe upon him. That is a lie. He did everything during his ministry that proved that he was God the Son and the Messiah, King of Israel. Every miracle that Jesus performed to prove who he was. A scribe had to attest to it and write it down in a local synagogue, and the priest had to do the same thing. And it went all the way to Jerusalem. The proof of Jesus' messianic credentials went all the way to Jerusalem. And yet, they did not believe. Verse number 43. Pepoisein. Epiton tion chiresesteu nin e thele auton epen gar hiotik theo eme. Now again, let's go Psalm 22 and verse 8 and Isaiah 53 and verse 1. He has trusted upon God, the God. Not just God, but the God. Let him snatch him out of danger. That's the word, Latin word raptor. Let him rapture him right out of this situation. The word rapture is in the Bible. Here it is again. Let him snatch him up. Let him rapture him up. Now, if he wishes him, he said, for that of God I am the Son. I am the Son of God. Verse number 44. Now we'll go back and read it from the Amplified. To di auto. Kai hoi leiste, hoi sis ta ro thentes, un auto, onai dizon, auton. And the same also the ones bandits, having been crucified with him, they continued to reproach him. The bandits kept on reproaching Jesus also. The murderers that were crucified with him. Now, let me tell you a little story. According to the Bullinger, there were five people crucified. Five people crucified. Two on one side of Jesus and two on the other side of Jesus. Now, he uses this very verb right here. The very verb and the very participle right here. Or the very verbs. The ones having been crucified, that's plural. With him, they, plural, kept on reproaching him. Now we know that one did not, don't we? That one of the murderers or thieves believed, did he not?
Yeah.
But it uses the plural here of at least more than one was reproaching and blaspheming Jesus also. They kept on reproaching him. Ne dizon. They kept on reproaching him. But one didn't. If indeed there were five people crucified, Jesus in the middle, and one here and one there, and one there and one there. Five, by the way, is a number of grace. I'm not saying this is what happened. But Bullinger believes that because of some of the verb forms, that there were five people crucified, and five is a number of grace. One of these five, four outlaws believed. Or one of the two believed, however many there were. I thought I'd just throw that out there for you. Now let's go back to the Amplified Bible and read up to where we are. 27 and verse number 38. At the same time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right-hand side and one on the other. Two robbers on the right, two robbers on the left, Bullinger says. And those who passed by spoke reproachfully, abusively, and jeered at him, wagging their heads. And of course, this is a quotation from Psalm 22 and verse 7. This would happen nearly 1,000 years before that it was quoted. What would happen to Jesus before crucifixion was ever even invented. And they said, "Who, you who would tear down the sanctuary of the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, rescue yourself from death. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, the same words, they said the same thing. If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God, since you are the Son of God, is what it literally says. Since you are the Son of God, do this. But they forgot the promise of Genesis, the first chapter and verse 15. They forgot what Psalm 22 and verse 1 said, and Jesus is going to remind them of that. And they forgot what Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, said. That the first coming of Jesus Christ was going to be a sacrifice. The second coming, Revelation, the 19th chapter, it shall be the Lord of glory. He rescued others from death. Himself he cannot rescue from death. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe and acknowledge and cleave to him. A lie. Did Jesus really come down from the cross? Yeah, he came down from the cross. He came down from the cross dead, but he didn't stay dead. He rose and lived forevermore. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him. Let him rapture him away. That word rapture there. If he cares for him and will have him, for he said, "I am the Son of God." He said, "I am the Son of God." They said the same thing that Satan said in Matthew, the 4th chapter. If you are, since you are the Son of God, do this. Cain in the garden area, not in the garden itself, but from where they were chased out of the garden. He was a farmer. And the earth had been cursed because of Adam's sin, and we have it. If you've ever stepped on a stick or been stung by stinging nettles or sand burrs or poison oak and poison ivy. It is toxic to our well-being. But yet, Cain had gone out and become a farmer despite the curse. And Cain brought a cursed offering from the cursed earth to God. False religion in its bud. God rejected it. And Cain rejected God. And he murdered his brother. The truth really bothers those that are not in the truth. And the robbers who were crucified with him also abused and reproached and made sport of him in their same way. They said the same thing. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know Him? This is what Jesus did for you. I've had people tell me that were atheists and agnostics, they hated the God of the Bible. They hated, they say, with a vicious ogre, a beast. But our God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son for whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. At the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem us from under the curse of the law. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus in a personal way? Have you asked Jesus to save your soul? It's not a family thing. It is not a group thing. It is an individual belief. You and God. I think sometimes how God has forgiven me so much. I think sometimes how Jesus Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary for me. Because He did. Did Jesus suffer on the cross for you? Oh, yes, He did. But will you pick up that gift and take it to God and say, I believe that You sent Your Son to die for me. And I claim that gift, and I ask You to forgive me where I fail You, repenting of your sins, and knowing they were sending you to hell. Our Father, we thank You for this message from Your Word. Father, I pray for all of my students out there all over the world, that You touch their hearts and their lives with Your Word, that You give them comfort, some in the twilight years of the life like me, and some, Father, young and vigorous, and in the midst of their, in the prime of their lives. Some young ones, some old. Father, I pray that You touch their lives with whatever they need, from Australia to New York to Wales to India, New Zealand, wherever they may be, Australia. I pray that You bless them with Your Word, that You give them the joy of Your salvation, that they have joy knowing that they are forgiven. And Father, please forgive me where I fail You. In Jesus' name, I pray.